Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March 24th, 2026. Today is Tuesday in the fifth week of Lent. This is a reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. What should be done then, my friends? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be only two, or at most three, and each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let them be silent in the church and speak to themselves and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to someone else sitting nearby, let the first person be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. Anyone who claims to be a prophet or to have spiritual powers must acknowledge what I am writing to you is the command of the Lord. Anyone who does not recognize this is not to be recognized. So, my friends, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order. Here ends the reading. Based on these instructions from Paul, I have to imagine that a worship gathering of the congregation in Corinth was lively, dynamic, and quite possibly confusing. Apparently, there were lots of folks speaking in tongues and plenty of folks competing for airtime in order to share their latest Spirit-inspired exhortation. The apostles' instructions are clear and to the point. All things should be done decently and in order. Just this morning, I was proofreading the various bulletins we are putting together here at Trinity Church for next week's round of Holy Week liturgies. As I looked at the lessons to be read, the hymns to be sung, and the various bits of liturgical choreography that has to happen in these worship services, I began to wonder how Paul would respond to all of the order. I wonder if he would ask us, have you left room for the movement of the Spirit? What if someone has an exhortation? What if there's a testimony? What if there's a message in tongues and interpretation? Is there any spaciousness in your liturgy to allow for the unexpected? No one would probably ever accuse the average Episcopal church of being out of control. In fact, we are most often criticized for being so buttoned up. But beyond the difference in style between first century Corinth and 21st century Wisconsin Episcopalians, I think Paul's overall message is pertinent. Let all things be done for building up. When any group of Jesus followers gather for worship, no matter the denominational subgenre, there has to be some order to how things get done. And there has to be room for the Spirit to breathe. We never know who has joined us on any given Sunday or other worship opportunity. And since we never know who might join us, we also never know what their spiritual needs may be. Our ministry as the body of Christ is to remember that our worship is a reflection on how we honor God's presence, how we honor the presence of guests in our midst, and how we honor each other's contribution to the life of the congregation. We won't always get this right, but if our desire is to glorify God and to facilitate good relationships between Christians, I believe we are headed in the right direction. Let us pray. Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.